Bible this morning, first of all to Jeremiah chapter 31. Then Romans 11. And Hebrews 8. Those three passages I'm going to touch briefly as our text. Jeremiah 31, Romans 11, Hebrews 8. Talking today about the salvation of Israel. God is saving us personally today. One by one, whoever will call on the name of the Lord is saving. He's forgiving them of their sins, making them a child of God. The day is coming when God is going to save the nation of Israel. So in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's for the whole nation. Now go over to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, and look down at verse number 25. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And we're the Gentiles. Our days is going to be fulfilled as Gentiles. That will be happening at the end of when the rapture takes place. And look at verse 26. "And so all Israel shall be saved." One day God's going to save all of Israel. Won't that be something? The way they're hated today, despised today. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 8, and look down at verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Now, Israel's hated today, folks. She's despised today. Even our own country despises Israel by many people, and even some churches, by the way. But despite all that, God's going to save Israel one day. And they're going to be the head of all the nations. Won't that be an embarrassing to the nations? But they're going to be the head of all the nations one of these days. Down the road now. That's what I want to talk about with you today. Loving God, help me today, Lord. Lord, I'm little. I'm helpless. Lord, you put us here. You blessed us to stand preach your word Help us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Bless our people. Give them hungry hearts to know your plan, your word, your will. Make us a people to honor you, Lord, to love you, Lord, to serve you, Lord, to enjoy you, Lord. Help us, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Ever since God chose Israel to be his people, they have had their share of problems and troubles. Ever since he chose them. Why is this? You would think that if you're God's child, everything's going to go good. That's the way the world thinks. It don't work like that, folks. Israel is God's chosen people, so Satan attacks. Israel has given the world the word of God. Don't you forget this. Israel was used by God to give the world his word, so Satan attacks Israel. Israel gave the world the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, so Satan attacks Israel. Israel has been a disobedient people to God because Satan deceived them. Look at the Islamic and Arab nations today and their bitterness and their hatred of the Jewish people. And by the way, it's their kin people. And today you know people probably that's kin and they don't get along. Amen. Isn't it sad when kin folks can't get along? Even in our own country, there's a great deal of resentment towards the Jewish people. Just recently, we had some Jewish people killed. They didn't use guns. I think they used clubs and sticks or something or another. Knives. The Jew has given the world many blessings, maybe more than any other people. Let me talk with you a little bit about the Jewish contributions. And by the way, he was not a Jew, but Enoch in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. I found out this week that he's the first person that knew how to write. That he knew how to write. Just throw that in as a sidebar. But the Jews taught that the pursuit of wisdom and learning was the highest pursuit and the right of every child and adult. And no Jewish community existed without a school. They believe in education. The Jewish legal system was the first to protect women, children, the poor, immigrants, and other vulnerable members of society, to protect the rights of the underdog and the helpless. And if you read the Mosaic Law, you see that. Judaism revolutionized the concept of God from a belief in multiple deities and idols to recognize the one infinite, loving Creator God. Judaism taught that every life is holy, created in the image of God. That's where that come from, Judaism. And of infinite value. Every soul is of infinite value. You're a valuable person. Even the old, the mental or physically handicapped, and the sick, everyone is of great value to God. And all should be protected, was the Jewish belief system. Judaism taught that men and women are equal in the eyes of God. Remember the first man and woman? They were not Jews, but what do we see in the first man and woman? They were equal. she came from Adam. Jews are known to be experts in jewelry, clothes, medicine, science, music, etc. Is there anyone more recognized as a genius and more often quoted than anyone than Albert Einstein? Y'all know him. I heard y'all say it. He lived in my lifetime. What a genius that man is. And some of the knowledge he had is still confounding learned men today. He was a Jew, but he was never converted. Isn't that sad? However, the Jews were forewarned in Deuteronomy chapter 28. I wish I had time to read that chapter. I don't. But I wish y'all would read Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first few verses deal with how God will bless you, my people, if you'll just listen to me. Just listen to me, and I'm just going to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you, God said to those people. But after a few verses, God begins to tell them, if you don't obey me, what's going to happen to you? And the sad story. Israel didn't obey God. And all these things that Moses listed there that God told him about has happened and is happening to the Jewish people. All the curses, the plagues, all the suffering that the Jewish people would experience if they wouldn't listen to God, and they haven't listened. And the things that's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 28, when they wouldn't listen to God, has been happening to Israel. Even though, listen to me, church, even though they're His chosen people, all these things still have happened to them, and they've been slaughtered in my lifetime. Over 6 million were gassed in Hitler's, under his orders, put to death. And I heard last night, listening to a preacher that knew who went there, that there's still 40,000 pounds of women's hair that had been shaved off of the women's heads. They were going to sell for other products, but they shaved the women's hair off of their heads to sell it before they gassed them and then burn them up in ovens. The Bible is true. The human heart is desperately wicked, folks. And you know what? Except for the grace of God, every one of us could be a Hitler. Every one of us. Deuteronomy chapter 28 alone is clear that the Bible is the Word of God. Because of the fulfillment of what's happening to the Jewish people. Because of her sins. Listen to me. Are y'all listening to me? Because of her sins, she wouldn't quit. God divorced her. Did you know God's divorced? God's divorced Israel. Jeremiah 3:8. I hope that scripture's right, Brother Chavis. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had her put away and given her a bill of divorce. God divorced His own people because of sin. So while the Jewish people are greatly hated by so many people today, He still has great plans for them. because they're still his ancient people. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 about God's future plan for the Jewish nation. Because of her idol worship and sin, God scattered his people throughout the nations of the world, but promised to return them to their nation. And we have seen Israel established as a nation again in our lifetime, as now God is bringing them back home. And folks, for what it's worth, we're getting close to the very end of this age. There's too much going on for it not to be true. In Ezekiel 37:21, it says, "And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen where God had scattered them." God said, "Now I'm going to bring them back. Whether they have be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land." God is going to bring the Jews that scattered throughout the world, and they've been coming from the nations of the world, and now there's over 6 million of them in their homeland that's returned from the nations of the world. God is bringing them back, and they're recognized as a nation in 1948. Jerusalem has been recognized as the capital even last year. And an embassy has been set up by our nation and some more last year. I'm telling you, we're moving closer to the coming of our Savior to get us and take us home to be with Him. While Israel is out of the will of God, they are in God's plan. They're out of the will of God, but they're in God's plan. Now, there are some Jews getting saved. There are some Messianic Jews. That's what a saved Jew is. He's called a Messianic Jew. And we've got a missionary up there in New York now working to try to get the gospel to a large body of Jews up in that area. At the end of the age, the scriptures predict that Israel will suffer horrible during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And that part is called the Great Tribulation. I want you to turn in your Bible now to Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm going to read to you, and you can follow along in your Bible. Ezekiel 38, a number of scriptures, because it's relevant. It's something you ought to be up on and know about. Maybe you've heard about, probably have. But in Ezekiel 38, beginning at verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me," Ezekiel said, "saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him." People that know geography and history and the land of the world identify this as where Russia is at, because it talks about the northern part, and the most northern part from Israel is Russia. "And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against you, O Gog." God says, "I'm against you, Gog." Boy, you better not have God against you, folks. You'll be in trouble. "The chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, I will turn thee back." And listen to what God's going to do to them. "I'm going to put hooks into your jaws, and I'm going to bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen." And by the way, today we don't have horses so much in the army, but I tell you what we have, horsepower. You catch the connection? Horsepower. Still horse, right? I will turn thee back, put hooks in thy jaws, and bring thee forth, all thy army, horses, horsemen, into, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers, shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. That's the old names. I'll give you the new ones in a minute. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou on guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land, that's at the end of the age, that is bought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. They're coming down on Israel, poor little old Israel. Ain't no bigger than your hand. Which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Then shall ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into your mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest, dwelling in peace, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil. That's what I'm going to do, they're going to say. And to take prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. The nations mentioned here are modern-day Russia, Sudan, the Kurds, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Turkey. These are specifically mentioned. That's the modern names of the countries Ezekiel listed. God is going to bring them down upon his people. And if you look in Ezekiel chapter 39, therefore, verse 1, thus thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, I'm against thee, O Gog, the prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. Five-sixths, get this to me, five-sixths of all these armies are going to be literally destroyed. Five-sixths of all these armies will be destroyed. And will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. God's going to do this. He's going to drag them down there because they've hated Israel so long. Payday someday, amen? And I will, listen to what God says I'm going to do. God says, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand. Listen, God's taking upon himself to defend Israel. Hey, God won't need any help, church. Boy, this is good, isn't it? He said, I'll smart the bow out of your left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy band and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravishes birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. God's going to feed the vultures. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known to the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons of their fallen enemies, both the shield and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. When will this take place? The scholars don't really know. Some think it could happen right before the rapture, but more think it's going to be after the rapture and maybe close to the midway of the tribulation. Nobody don't know really when, but it's in the last days. Now I want to turn to another prophet. Zechariah the prophet tells us in chapter 12, when all the nations come against Jerusalem in the last days. Flip over to Zechariah chapter 12. Let me read you a couple of verses there. Now this is getting good, folks. Let me tell you something. People can laugh at God. They can mock God. They can cuss God. But God's going to have his day. And people can't do anything about it. Not even nations banded together can't stop God, folks. Amen? That's our God. Amen? Zechariah 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people running about, when they shall be in the siege, both Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, this is probably at the end of the 7-year tribulation. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Listen to that phrase there. All, that means America, folks. All the peoples gathered against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I'm going to smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, God's people. And I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. God is going to take it upon himself to defend Israel. When the nations are determined to get rid of Israel, when all the nations are banding together coming against Israel, God's going to take it upon himself to put an end to the nations. Amen. Now, look back in chapter 12 of Zechariah, look down at verse 9. It shall come to pass in that day that I, God says, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You better not mess with them Jews, folks. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they pierced. Israel's going to finally realize he's their Messiah, brother. Ain't that going to be something, brother? And look what they put up with, how they've suffered when he's been there all the time wanting to save them. And it is with people the same way. God wants to save everybody, and people won't let him. Amen. Amen. And they shall look upon me whom they pierced. Whom they pierced. Yes, sir. It was the Jews that said, we're not have this man reign over us.
Let his blood be upon us and our children. And before God today, that's been fulfilled. The blood has been upon those Jewish people because they rejected their Messiah. Zechariah continues in chapter 14. Flip over to 14 and look at verse 2. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. Listen to what God's going to let be done, folks. This is the end of the 7-year tribulation now. This is just before Jesus comes back at the second coming, not the rapture, the second coming. And the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And the city, half of the city shall go into captivity. God's going to let half the city go into captivity. And the residue, a small part, of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. Just before they're wiped out. Are y'all listening? Just a small group is going to be saved. 2/3 of Israel is going to be killed. Only 1/3 is going to be saved. He says, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. Zechariah 14, 2 and 3. Now look down in verse 12 of chapter 14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Listen to that phrase. Think about that phrase. That while they're standing up, all their flesh shall melt off their bones. That's the plague they're going to get. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Think about here they are fighting, and suddenly there's nothing there but a bunch of skeletons. And then they crumble to the ground. All flesh melted. You can't mess with a God that's God. You can ignore him. You can curse him. You can reject him. You can deny him. You can say he ain't. He is. He's the I am. And he made everybody for himself. But he let everybody make a choice. You can serve me or not. Now if you serve me, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to let you live in heaven forever. If you don't want to serve me, here's what your choice is. Hell forever. You get to make the choice. God don't make the choice. God lets man make his choice. But God has told man what's before him. So you can make a wise choice. I've read that when the atomic bombs were dropped upon Japan during World War II, that the same thing happened to thousands of people instantly when those bombs bursted. Listen to me. Many people were vaporized. Vaporized. From the blast, from the intense heat it produced, those bombs. Bodies of people were made a shatter on the wall or on the steps. And some places they're still there. They were vaporized. If man can make a something like that, what you think God can do? Amen. Right? Thousands and tens of thousands of people died instantly when them bombs busted. And later, more thousands died from being exposed to that radiation from those bombs. Remember, God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3, "And I will make of you a great nation," God said to Abraham, "and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." You're going to be a blessing, Abraham. And Abraham's been a blessing. Through his lineage, we've got a Messiah, a Savior. We got the Word of God. Amen? "Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Genesis 12, 2 and 3. It's always been true. You bless the Jews, you'll be blessed. You work against the Jewish people, you'll be cursed. Nations better not mess with Israel, folks. History. All you got to do is go back and trace history. Look what happened to the Babylonians when they come down on Jerusalem and enslave God's ancient people. Even though his people were disobedient, God used the Babylonians to come down and enslave them, take them out of their city after destroying everything there, enslaved them. But what happened to Babylon? The Persians came and destroyed them. What happened to the Persians that come against them? They got destroyed. You just come down, nation after nation, that's messed with the Jewish people. They've been destroyed. What happened to Germany? When they killed all them Jews, they are not that powerful nation anymore. They're even been divided until our lifetime. They took down that Berlin Wall. Folks, all you got to do is study the history and study the Bible, and you can see you better not mess with them Jews. Amen. I'm going to tell you one other thing worse than that. You better not forget God. Amen. You better not forget God, folks. There's a God, and he made you for himself. He loves you. You're so important to God. You're so important to God. He sent his son to die the most horrible death there's ever been to rescue your sin-sick soul. Amen. So you could live with him. Amen. He wants to love you forever. And we live in a time when the glitter of this world is attracting everybody. And the pleasures of this world. And people are chasing after these things. And their souls are perishing. Their souls are perishing. At the end, when Jesus comes at this time, he's going to destroy all the nations of the world. All the armies of the nations. Let me say it that way. He's going to destroy all the armies of the nations when he comes to rescue Israel. Then he's going to gather all the nations of people that was not in armies, and they're going to be divided. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. These people have survived a 7-year tribulation. All those on the left will suddenly be killed. Those on the right will enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And some of them will live 1,000 years, no doubt. And Jesus Christ will sit on the throne and rule and reign for 1,000 years of peace, prosperity, no war. This earth will produce crops and fruits, vegetables like it's never produced before. And then at the end of the age, Satan that's been locked up for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit is going to be let out. And all the people during the 1,000 years that did accept Jesus as their Messiah and Savior, They're going to come against the Lord for one last battle led by old Lucifer. But fire is going to come down from heaven and destroy them. Amen. You can't mess with God, get by. Amen. He's God. And He's the most wonderful God. He's the most loving God. He's the most forgiving God. He's the most caring God. He's the most understanding God. And there's no other like Him. And we rob ourselves and we cheat ourselves if we don't live for Him and serve Him. What a Savior He has given to us, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's love Him. Let's serve Him. You know the Lord today? If you don't know the Lord today, today's the day of salvation. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm that sinner that Jesus Christ died for. I want You to save me. I want You to forgive me. Be my Savior. I'm trusting You, Lord. I'm accepting You, Lord. If you've never did that, do it today and then tell us about it. The Bible says we're supposed to confess openly that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What about it, folks? What about it today as we stand together? Someone today needs to come to the altar to pray for somebody. Somebody needs to come and commit themselves to the Lord. Lord, I've been wandering away. I want to get serious with my life in the Lord.